Okay, I think we can get started now. Every year, or every semester actually, we ask some of the alum from the CIS program to come and speak about their careers. And I still can't, there I am. And speak about their careers and tell us a little bit about what they're doing in networking, programming, security, multimedia, game development, and I'm trying to remember, transfer, and web development. I think I've covered them all. So we're going to get started, and we are going to ask them to tell us a little bit about what they do, how they do it, and the path that got them to the point that they're at now. So, Chris, how about starting with you, since you're right in the middle on my screen?
Lucky number one, right?
Right.
Hi, everybody. My name is Chris Menard, and I'm Principal Infrastructure Engineer for Brown University. I attended Bristol from 2002 to 2004. It was a change of career for me. I was in culinary arts. I was a chef for many years before that, and decided to go into the computer IT industry. Basically, after I graduated from Bristol, I worked for American Power Conversion for about 7 years, worked in their data center operations team, working with physical servers, virtual servers, storage, Active Directory, basically you name it, anything in the data center minus networking. Then moved on to Hasbro, the toy company, worked there for a couple years as a storage and backup administrator. And I've been at Brown for just a little over 10 years now. I started as lead storage administrator, basically in charge of all of our block storage and our network attached storage. In the past couple years, I was recently promoted to principal infrastructure engineer, where my role has expanded. I still do all my storage duties, but I'm also in charge of purchasing all of our server hardware, managing the lifecycle of those of the server hardware. I work pretty closely with our data center folks with getting things installed and moved around in the data center. And I work with a lot of our other internal IT teams on fairly large projects like migrating data for departments, bringing in new software, new technologies, and things like that. I would say one of the most important tools that I think that I see that I use in my job is scripting. My preferred scripting language is PowerShell, but a lot of people use Python or other different languages like that. I've actually just recently started dabbling in Python, but it's one of those, you know, when things work in one language, it's kind of hard to move into the next language kind of things. So I spend a lot of time building PowerShell scripts to just automate a lot of our processes. That's kind of one of our focuses lately, is to try to make things more automated, just to improve performance, how quickly we can turn things around for people, and also to make sure that, you know, people aren't making human mistakes while they're entering in data. And one of our big key focuses, probably going for the next couple of years, is going to be supporting. We have a lot of researchers that work at Brown University, so we support all of their research, compute, and storage needs. And AI and generative AI are becoming very popular with our researchers, so we're looking at building out our infrastructure to help support their needs as far as having systems with GPUs in them for the compute side. And then, of course, everyone just has so much data that we're constantly expanding our storage footprint. I think right now we manage close to 15 petabytes of data total, between our high performance compute systems and our other, you know, departmental and other research non-high performance compute storage needs. And that's about it.
Thank you. Amanda, why don't you go next?
Hi, guys. It's nice to see a lot of smiling faces. So I graduated in, I believe it was 2022. maybe 2021. I don't know. I actually work for the city of Concord currently. With that being said, I do a lot of everything. From networking to Active Directory, security permissions, NTF permissions, to working with over, I believe, 17 different departments, including fire, police. It's an experience that's, I don't know, incredible. It's a golden ticket, I will say that. I originally was actually, I started at the help desk here at Bristol. Just doing, it was a internship, okay? And then I went and worked for a company in Fairhaven for a couple of weeks. I'm sorry, a couple of months. And then I decided to come over to move to New Hampshire and come to Concord. It was literally the one job I applied for, but it was pretty amazing. Be here. I will say, circling back, a lot of the stuff I currently do is basically from Janelle's classes. I'm not gonna lie, I'm not tooting her horn, but it certainly is a lot of like Active Directory, and just, gosh, I don't know. It's a lot of stuff. Amanda wasn't prepared. Amanda's technically on lunch right now and doing other things. I'm not sure if you have any questions or...
I think we're going to have a question period at the end, but if you have any specific questions, go ahead and ask them.
Oh, no. I'm good.
Okay, Joe Fletcher.
My name is Joseph Fletcher. I am currently with a company called Meditech, they're based in Canton, but I'm actually in Fall River in their South Coast building. But we'll start from the beginning because I have an interesting story that led me here. So I spent approximately 16 years in the car business, and the road led me to applying to BCC because I needed a career change. I wanted my weekends back. And I came in as basically business information. I was just looking to get into, not into the weeds, I just wanted to get a quick associates and carry on until I took CIS 120. And basically, from there, the road was kind of open to me of this web development and programming and all these languages and all this stuff. And realistically, took me on a different path than what I was expecting. And graduated. So, let's see, we graduated in 20. Right at the middle of the pandemic, 2020. So I got a couple of remote jobs. I worked with a WordPress company doing some PHP work in the background. Then I got hired with another internet company called Ultimate Bundles. I worked with them, had to build reporting software for them. Developed an entire reporting application, all in PHP, integrating with Slack, integrating with a couple other third-party softwares, Salesforce, etc. And then I got the call from Meditech. So I was a bit... BCC always talks about Meditech, and it was always something that was on the radar. And I went through the process of applying and going through the recruiting side of it and then taking their test. And in the middle of the pandemic, I ended up getting hired with Meditech. So basically, I work with order management, which is one of the applications. We essentially are in the middle of everything. We integrate with pharmacy. We integrate with a lot of the other applications. So I guess I should say Meditech is an electronic health record company. So our software is in a lot of hospitals, frontline, backline, and my job with them is a programmer analyst. So essentially, anytime a customer runs into problems, we're the ones that get called. So we have a first line defense that deals with workflows. They'll basically solve any of the forward facing problems. And then once it gets into the code, into the weeds, it comes to us. We're essentially in the code all day looking for what caused the issue, how to fix it, and whether or not we need to get with development to find a fix. Give me 1 second, I apologize. Who has house phone? As you can tell, I work remotely. And as I was saying, basically work with a proprietary language. So it is their own language. I guess in comparison, you would probably say it's closer to a Java-based programming language. But there's also multiple languages on the server side as well that they utilize, all proprietary. I've been with them for 3 years now. And this February, I was actually promoted to supervisor. And I have a team of 3 people now, and I assist them in the same thing. And I get to be a programmer analyst at the same time. And all of that, I could thank DCC for with an associates. And that's what I do.
Thank you. Why don't we move on to James?
Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is James Simos. Just a little background on myself. I grew up in Fall River. I was born in Fall River. Grew up there and went to Diamond in the automotive trade. Worked in with cars for a while right out of high school, but found myself at BCC. In 2007, and was there for general studies, and but took a CIS 44 class, which was Intro to Web Development, and that sort of put me on the path that I'm on now today. So graduated from BCC, and then I also went to Wentworth and graduated from there as well with a degree in project management. A lot of as a full-time job, I work as a lead software engineer at a company called Optum, which is a parent company of United Health Group. And I work with teams to build solutions. There's a lot of them. Mostly the team that I work for is a platform team, so we build solutions that other teams can leverage. Things like data streaming, analytics, most things all like around healthcare. My team primarily focuses on making end-to-end messages and data streaming available to teams to leverage and build into their apps. So we support that and build on that. In my spare time, I enjoy building websites, designing websites, and building apps. So I think a lot of my success came from just being able to really dig into sort of my passion to design and build and create things and, doing those on nights and weekends, and then be able to incorporate some of that back into the workforce really, I think, was a big part of my career advancement. I really enjoyed my time at BCC. I think the teachers were phenomenal. The materials might seem a little simple and elementary, but I think at some point you realize that a lot of those basic things sort of are important. And yeah, I think in my future kind of involves a lot of different things right now, but I'm mostly thinking about maybe going back to pursue a further education, maybe with an MBA. So yeah, I think that's pretty much it. And if anyone has any questions or wants to know more or wants to just drop a message, I'm sure Priscilla, Professor Grosser could drop my email or my website.
Thank you. Kayla.
Hey everyone, my name is Kayla DeRogis and I am a EDP System Analyst 2 for Bristol Community College. I've been working here about full-time for 12 years, but I feel like I've never left. So I started school back in 2009 in the computer networking program right out of high school. I came from Bristol Aggie, so for those of you who know what Bristol Aggie is, it's an agricultural school, so they don't really have, when I went there at least, there was no computer classes. I was in ag mechanics doing fixing tractors and stuff like that, so I had little to no training on computers at all. And I started my journey here at Bristol when my friend recommended, like, hey, I'm in the networking program, you should check it out. And I said, all right, let's see what happens. I will be honest with you, school did not come easy for me. I started in 2009, and I think I officially graduated in 2013. So my best advice is don't worry, take your time, don't rush, don't feel discouraged, you'll get there. One of the cool things about attending Bristol was that I was able to participate in something called a work study program. And this allowed me to work at the ITS help desk while I was a student here at Bristol, and I was able to take what I was learning in the classroom and really apply it to like a real day job and really get to learn more about the different pieces of IT. So once I graduated from Bristol, and it did take me a while, so I was becoming very well known here at the college, they offered me a part-time job, which was awesome because I was already doing the work and I was getting paid for it, which was really cool. And one thing led from another. You know, I've been here for a little bit longer, and a full-time position popped up. I was already doing a lot of the stuff that they needed, and I was excelling in it. So when that full-time position popped up, boom, I got it. So that's how I ended up here at Bristol. It all started from 2009. Didn't know what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. Stumbled into the computer networking program and just never left. So what do I do now as an EDP system analyst too for Bristol? I think Amanda mentioned it, we're a jack of all trades. We do a little bit of everything here for the IT department. We're trying to be a little more cross-trained. Back in the day, we used to have like a small group of people, like this person just managed printers, this person just built computers, this person repaired computers. And what we're noticing is that when something happens to that person, whether they're out sick, whether they need to take a vacation, we're learning that who's going to fill that void. So one thing we've been trying to do more of is being cross-trained on a lot of different IT topics. So some of the things that we do, we manage printers, we configure and manage Active Directory, we run network lines, we handle switches. Our new thing is being really into security and how to handle things in a secure environment. We also handle technology software requests from all the campuses, not just Fall River. We also manage student systems, so computers that you guys might use in the library, the virtual machines you might be using at home. We handle VMware, so anyone taking those networking classes, we kind of build those systems for you guys. And we also handle the CIS web piece, so if anyone's doing any CIS web programming, we handle that. We also handle the Azure Dev Tools, so if anyone's getting like ISOs for their classes, we're handling that. Another thing we do is we create and update computer images throughout the whole campus. Again, in my department, we do everything from students, staff, and faculty. We manage all that stuff. Another thing we do, and I can't stress this enough, is we create solutions articles. And it's not only helpful for end users, but it's extremely helpful for us in IT because we are being more cross-trained. There's so much stuff that we're doing, and it's really hard to remember everything that we're doing. So having a good documentation skill is a must. It does take a little bit longer to document, but I highly recommend. I think if you take any of Janelle's homeworks, she's prepping you for those documentation skills. So it might seem like a pain in the butt, but I'm telling you, once you're in the workforce and you start that whole documentation process, it's going to make your life so much easier. Another thing we do is we manage and create tickets through a ticketing system. This allows us to keep track of any technology problems or an easy way for us to communicate with our end users on any big stuff that might be going on. We're also the first line of defense for IT, so whenever you call 333 or you put a ticket in about your account being locked, it's usually someone, either me or someone from my team, that's triaging the ticket, whether it's for a programmer, whether it's for online learning. We try to handle it from our end, but if you need something a little more advanced, we'll then triage it to a different part of the department. So yeah, so as an EDP system analyst too here at Bristol, you're kind of doing a lot of different things. It's a lot of fun because you're always learning something, but I can see why someone wouldn't like that. But someone might, like me, I'm always learning and loving what's new, what's next. So constantly learning new stuff. We're playing with a bunch of different things, like with Intune, Office 365. So if you like change and you like to be in a little bit of everything, you know, definitely check out any positions for an EDP system analyst. A lot of fun, a lot of work, but I'm telling you, it's rewarding.
Thank you. Max.
Gotta find my like five mutes, hang on. So, good day everybody. Name is Max Shockett. I started at Bristol in 2004 after I had gotten out of the military. I had many majors as well as many jobs over the course of my time there. And starting in 2009, I started in the network program, and I also took a bunch of classes that were outside of that, like Kayla. You know, I kind of was all over the place for a little while with school there. I also graduated in 2013. Over my time there, I worked on the help desk as a work study. I was also a student instructor. I also volunteered pretty much if there was ever anything to get a little extra time in at the college. And then I ended up getting a job almost straight out of school. It was, you know, a couple of months after I had left. And the job that I was at was a job that someone who worked at the company referred the job over to Professor Grosser, and then she referred me to them, and that job that I started at, I'm still technically at, although that tiny little company in Taunton was bought out by a big international company that works in the automotive parts software industry. And my current position there is I'm the manager of IT engineering for the internal IT department, and all of the internal facing IT systems, as well as communication systems such as phones, email, etc., and workforce modernization, and being part of the overall security team are all areas that wrap up to me. I have team members that are everywhere from Poland to India, as well as all throughout the U.S. I'm fully remote. I actually moved to Kentucky last year. And over the course of my time there, I've worked with a bunch of different Bristol students. I used to work with James back in the day. He was originally my boss, taught me a lot. And then I've also had the opportunity to be able to hire several Bristol students over my time there. The two hires that I directly had also still work for the same company today. One of them actually still works for me, and then another one has moved on to a more business information system kind of role. I guess that's about it.
Okay. Thank you. We're waiting for one other person that was going to be late, so I will introduce him when he comes. But in the meantime, I'm going to open it for questions. You gotta have questions. Come Come on, we got to keep it going because Andrew's going to be upset if he doesn't get to talk.
Hello. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
This is John. My name is John Montero. I really enjoyed all of your discussions and your work background. I'm currently transitioning myself in the middle of my career from a long history in water heating and boiler, hydronics heating industry. I'm about 40 years old, and I'm coming back into BCC, and I'm currently on a trajectory for my cybersecurity and forensics degree, associates in science. Are any of you on LinkedIn, or are any of you averse to sharing any of your LinkedIn profiles after this session?
That should be on LinkedIn. It should be set to public. But I can get that info. I can get to you.
Just like to do a little more research, and I always like researching and discovering, you know, connections and seeing a little bit more, you know, from a lot of the, you know, experts in the tech industry.
Any other questions? As I said, we've got to fill some time here because Andrew's coming.
I was wondering from Joe Fletcher, you were talking about Slack. You worked with Slack. I wonder what that was.
It is very similar to like a Google chat. It is, well, it was. I don't know how prevalent
Teams
it is.
Teams is the direct competitor.
Thank you.
And here's Andrew now. So, you're on, Andrew.
Hi. Okay, remind me, what do I say?
Do we hear what? Just tell All us right, about hi. Your career.
Okay, hi. So, my name is Andrew Heidel. I am the Interim Director of Online Learning here at Bristol Community College. I was a student in Bristol's CIS networking program and graduated in 2010. From there, I went and continued on to UMass Lowell and got my Bachelor's of Science in Information Technology, and then moved on to UMass Boston and got my Master's of Education in Instructional Design and Technology. And as my time as a student, I was recommended by one of my instructors, who might be in this room, for a job here on campus working in an instructional technology lab for faculty and students to go to if they needed help using the college's learning management system, Blackboard, online learning. And that kind of segued into an unexpected career. Even though I was in networking, I ended up taking a real liking to working on the tech support side of things and sort of where education meets technology. So I worked here at the college until I graduated and then for about a year afterward. And then I was lucky to find my way into a position at UMass Dartmouth. Doing full-time support for the learning management system and for faculty and students teaching online and taking online classes. And then that was 10 years of time at UMass. And then I ended up coming back to Bristol in February of 22 in a similar role. And then due to some vacancies and shifting around, I was able to find my way up the ladder a little bit. And now I am currently the Interim Director of Online Learning, as I mentioned. So that has been my career. Even though I went to school for networking, I ended up doing some things slightly differently, but I do find myself using a lot of the skills that I learned during my time as a CIS student. In particular, I think anything you do in IT, you need the troubleshooting skills, and you need the ability to sort of investigate and to sort of be a dog with a bone sometimes, because when it's just you versus the technology, in whatever system you're using or supporting, you need to be sort of well-versed in troubleshooting skills, so I find myself using that quite a bit. I think that's a good overview of me, unless there's any other prompts or questions you were looking for.
So we're back to questions, folks.
This is a very quiet group.
hello, I actually have one question.
Ask away.
Thank you. And so how do you guys handle conflict, or if there's any issue with your work on team members?
I can take it from my perspective. I work a lot with people who, for one reason or another, might not be happy with the technology that I support. And so obviously I don't develop really any of the technology that I support, so I can try to help them figure out workarounds. I can try to sort of put in tickets on their behalf to try to get things solved, but I don't always have the ability to wave a magic wand and fix it in the moment. And I think that can apply to technologies we all support. We don't always have full control. So over the years, I have learned how to de-escalate an unhappy customer, because by the time they reach tech support, they're usually already pretty upset because they've already been trying to fix something. And so by the time they reach me, not only am I trying to resolve it, I'm also playing therapist a little bit to like acknowledge what there has happened, make them feel like they're not alone and that they're not, you know, just technology plagued. I'm like, no, sometimes things happen. A lot of the answers I give people for technical questions, it's like, I don't know, the same 15 answers I give all the time. And thankfully, I made a career out of that. I just happened to say 15 answers of, you know, how to do this in Word, or how to do this in a web browser, and how to, oh my goodness, how to clear your cache. That's a big one. But usually, if you can introduce sort of a, I'm here, we're going to solve your problem, and, you know, just blame the technology. That's really my go-to. The technology does not have feelings, right? So put it on the technology, sort of hear what people are saying, and usually if you can get a little levity out of, oh yeah, I did that to somebody else earlier. Oh no, we'll fix it. I have the answer for you. Sort of reassure them that they're in good hands from the technical support side of things for me. Even though you don't really have control, at least they feel like they're in capable hands, and that usually helps with somebody who's spicy.
Okay, thank you for that.
Taylor or Joe, you must have run into this.
All the time. My biggest thing is just like Andrew said, is letting that person feel heard. You know, you might get people that feel, for example, a lot of people, we have that new password policy that everyone loves, the 15 characters. And if I had a dollar for every time someone told me they couldn't come up with a password that hit that requirement, I would be living in Hawaii somewhere nice. So I always kind of make like fun gestures. Like I will make, you know, funny comments. Like I have a dog, his name's Scooter. And I'll be like, Scooter Tutor is a big tutor, 23. Like that's a great password. I try to bring a little more joke or fun to it to, you know, let the user know like, hey, it's not you. Everyone feels the same way. I feel like letting someone be heard and letting them express what's going on instead of cutting them off or like just trying to derail it or getting really defensive, just kind of listen to them and let them know it's all right and make them feel comfortable.
Yeah, it's an interesting one from the perspective of, so when you're dealing with electronic health records, you do run the risk of having some very heavy-duty heat cases coming down. So just a quick background. I work off of cases or tasks, and we have elevated statuses for those cases. So if something comes in with a critical status, there's some heat behind it. So I don't deal directly with the customer in those cases. But if it's coming to me, that means we've got to do some quick digging. We got to jump on it now. And I think the biggest thing with that is to make sure that you understand the customer. Yes, they're upset, and we're going to have to take some brash from them. But in the end of it, we have to make sure that we're getting all the information that we need from them in order for us to dig in and get the proper solution. You know, it is part of the job, unfortunately, from where I'm at, but it's also one of those that is, I hate to say, the most exciting part of the job, but when you really you have no choice but to dig into something and game on, I mean, that's why we do what we do. If that helps answer that question, I'm not sure.
I would also like to add, because along with Kayla and Ben, with the other guy's name. Sorry about that. I will say that the thing is always, the most important thing is to always, you know, be on the customer's level. Don't sit there and talk them tech. They don't care. What they really care about is that they're having a problem. They need you to help them in order to get their job done. So you always want to, like, you know, obviously be professional about it. Kayla had touched on this earlier. Documentation, it is an understatement, an absolute understatement. Documentation is key, not only for end users, and communication with your coworkers too is huge with also helping, you know, the end users or any clients. I know Joe said that he works with Slack. Our team actually uses Slack, so thank you for that.
Christy, you have your hand up.
Hi, everyone. Nice to see you all. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay. Not on my own computer today. I wanted to, first of all, thank everyone for coming today, but I did have a question. I know Kayla, especially, and Andrew had touched upon, because they both now work at Bristol and have for several years, talked about making connections while they were in their program at Bristol, making connections with people within their department, perhaps with other people that worked on campus. And those, that networking is so important. So I wondered if others could touch upon experiences connecting with either industry partners or mentors, or even if it's another faculty member at Bristol. How did those connections help you in the long run, once you graduated? Did they help connect you with a future career? So can you just talk a little bit about your networking experiences while a student at Bristol?
So I can speak to that a little bit. While I was at Bristol, I was part of the internship program. I'm not sure if you still have a similar program, but basically I was connected with a outside company and did some work with them over the first summer between year one and year two. The company, I think, is still in existence, called the Computer Merchant. They do project coordination and things like that for major companies throughout the whole country, doing all kinds of IT work. That went so well that they ended up hiring me on while I was in year two. And then at the end of that, while I was trying to become hired by them as a full-time employee instead of a contract employee, I actually went to my first job at American Power Conversion, which was introduced to me through someone who actually lived right down the street from me. He worked at American Power Conversion as well, and they had some openings. But the internship program was great because I actually got a lot of hands-on experience working on several different projects that were actually nationwide. So they actually flew me around the country to do three or four different projects. So there was, you know, besides the actual classroom learning, which was extremely helpful in moving from one career to another, I got a lot of actual hands-on experience working with, you know, moving from Novell to Windows or installing servers for Ford dealerships. There was just a lot of things like that, and learning how to work with different people with different IT backgrounds from different parts of the country, because you'd be amazed at how different it is in different areas, you know, just the way that people work and speed they do things, or just how they handle, you know. I think in the Northeast we're seen as kind of people who like to get things done really quickly and move on to the next thing, and that's not necessarily true in some of the other parts of the country. So it was just interesting to interact with all those different kinds of people.
I can say from my perspective, since my career kind of segued into educational tech, I just was in the perfect place for that because I was in education working in tech. So I kind of lucked into that, but had my instructor, Janelle, not connected me to the opportunity, I wouldn't have even known that career path existed. But I found that I did a lot of saying yes. I was just a part-timer working 18 and a half hours on campus, and I was 18 when I first started, and I found myself always the youngest person in the room, like with a bunch of instructors trying to tell them what to do while I was still a student. So it was an odd dynamic. But it did give me the opportunity to have conversations with people that I otherwise would not have. And one of my favorite parts of my job now is that I get to work with so many different people, so many different disciplines. And so as a designer, instructional designer over the year, that's like a huge thing for me. It's like, oh, I learned how much I value getting a wide range of experiences with people who teach. Like one of my favorite anecdotes was, you know, once the pandemic hit, all of a sudden learning, teaching people how to teach online was the most important thing at UMass Dartmouth, because everyone had to teach online. And I'm like, never did in my career that I think I would be helping someone learn how to teach pottery online. It's just interesting challenges that I never thought would happen. But the flow of working in this type of an organization is constantly exposes you to new people. One thing that the networking was sort of like led to my full-time job was I was working here and I just, like I said, kept saying yes to projects and things that I could try and do. And saying yes to projects inevitably led to new people. And so I said yes to working on a grant with sort of converting health records and teaching people how to convert health records to electronic format, which is what involves some people from UMass Dartmouth who then got to know me, who then had me in mind when they posted a full-time job, which is what pulled me through to sort of that area. So there was that saying yes that sort of helped me. But on the flip side of saying yes, I had to learn, and perhaps I learned a little too late, when to stop saying yes. because then you get, you know, you can kind of pigeonhole yourself as like, oh, just the bottomless hole of productivity, which I feel like a lot of IT people can identify with. Once people learn that you're good at what you do and that you're productive, it can sort of turn on you. So I encourage anybody to say yes, especially at the beginning, but own your power when you find it. When you realize that you're integrated and you know your path and you can sort of find what you want, learn to sort of turn and sort of be part of the crew, not waiting for the crew to tell you what to do and give you the next opportunity, because that's how you'll find the next one.
Dale, I noticed that you said that you, in the chat, that you did study groups when you were a student here, and I think that was a big thing. Sometimes I'd walk down the hall and there'd be a bunch of students and they called it like the homework club, you know, and they'd all kind of just sit and do homework together, but not necessarily, you know, they were just kind of bouncing questions off each other as people had problems. And I know that with most of our classes online now, there's not as much of that, but I think that, you know, some students should, I don't know how much interaction there is between students in the CIS program at this point because we're mostly online. But if they do have face-to-face classes that they're on campus for, ideally trying to do something like that to, you know, interact with other students in the program definitely is something that was a very, very good for the students in past years.
Yeah, I mean, when I was a student, we had a lot of face-to-face classes, and a lot of our classes, like, kind of leveled. It's like we'd have a class at 11, then we'd have another class at 12, so we'd all kind of, like, hang out. It was always, like, the same group of kids that were going to school and doing the same stuff. You know, I highly, you know, make friends with people. I know people typically say computer people are very, like, antisocial, they hide in the closet, stuff like that. But being open and bubbly and getting to know, like, your colleagues is such a big thing. A lot of people that are in this event today, like, we had a position open up at the help desk, and I was emailing Amanda, as I knew she already lived in New Hampshire. I'm like, Amanda, we have a position, you sure you don't want to come down? You know, I'm constantly reaching out to former work studies or students that I know are in the field. Like, whenever positions do pop up, I do reach out to the CIS instructors, and I'm like, hey, we have something coming up. Do you have a student that would be in mind? And not only that, like, if I have students that are looking for positions, I've reached out to Max, like, hey, Max, you guys have any positions opening? And I use networking to kind of help these students get positions, and it's very important to try to make these connections with people, whether it's your instructors, whether it's coworkers. You know, look at Andrew Hino. I knew him prior to being here at Bristol. I actually worked with him at like a country club job, and he's the one who's like, hey, what are you going to do when you graduate? I'm like, I have no idea. He's like, oh, come to Bristol and try the networking program. I think you'd be good for it. And that's how my career started here at Bristol, was because Andrew pulled me in and I just never left. So definitely try to make those connections, like I said, with your instructors. I know Rose has like a CIS club, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know how many CIS students are in there for like computers, but definitely try to take advantage to meet, even if they're not with computer skills and maybe more of a math science, you never know when those connections could be utilized or when your paths may cross, and it might become a good tool to have someone like that that you might need to contact for something. So definitely network with your either your coworkers, your instructors, and if possible, your fellow colleagues.
Rose just put a comment in the chat about the STEM club, so reach out there if you're interested in learning more.
Any other questions?
I know there is some sort of Discord, if I'm not mistaken. There is a CIS Discord out there somewhere that a student started. I don't know how active it is. But
I was going to say, Kayla, we had Facebook, and then we had Google Wave even back in the day.
Yeah, Google Hangout. Datas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's how we hung out. If we couldn't meet up in person, we'd just, hey, let's do homework for an hour or whatever and just do, like, a Google Hangout session. But I know in the Bristol app, I did see, like, a computer information Discord out there, and I think they had, like, different channels for different, like, programs. I think there was a programming one, there was a computer networking one, and it's kind of where the kids kind of go back and forth and discuss different things. Yeah, it's just, you got to be active in it. That's the hard part, is making sure people stay active. I mean, I have, like, a CIS Facebook group, and it's, like, former CIS students, and we post here and there, but I'm not in the field anymore, so I don't know who to add, or I don't know if Facebook's still a big popular thing anymore.
If I can also just make a note, like, I was a little bit older than everybody else, like, in most of my classes. I mean, I certainly was not the oldest in most of my classes, but I wasn't fresh out of high school. You know, I had gone to the Army, gone through a bunch of different jobs, started a career, had that kind of, you know, fall flat on its face. Like, you can't be afraid to reach out to your fellow students. I know sometimes that is more daunting than not, but I mean, like, I think there's like a 10-year age difference between Kayla and I, and, like, you know, we'd go hang out and, you know, do stuff related to, like, learning in the class, make sure that we're all kind of up and carrying each other along. Like, so, you know, don't be afraid of reaching out to your fellow student thinking that, you know, oh, well, I'm older than them or I'm younger than them. Like, just kind of got to put yourself out there and see how it goes for you, because that's going to be the group that potentially is going to help you to find jobs or find employees later.
Anybody else? I am recording this, so I will be putting up the recording so the other people in our classes that want to hear it can go and listen. So if you have anything else that you'd like me to include?
Less of a question and more of just an announcement. This is Dave Madden from the STEM Starter office here in Bristol. Just wanted to, I'm putting my email in the chat right now for anybody who's presenting today. We're holding a networking event on November 14th. It's going to be via Zoom, 2 to 4 p.m. We're very much interested in getting CIS presenters, anybody from a CIS company, to come and share something similar to what you shared today. We have a lot of new CIS students. Mass Reconnect has really brought in a lot of CIS students. There's a lot of members of SSA, new members of SSA, that are really interested in computer science. So if that's something that you're interested in presenting in, again, November 14th from 2 to 4 p.m. via Zoom, my email is in the chat. Send me an email. I can send you additional information if you're interested. Thanks.
Well, anything else? Otherwise, I'm going to say thank you very much. Thank you to all the presenters. It's always really interesting. And thank you to the students who came. I know you enjoyed it. So thank you all.
I just had a question. How does the attendance work for this? Do you guys take everybody's attendance just because I needed that?
I don't take attendance.
Oh, God. All right. Because for one of my classes, we were recommended to join one of the meetings, and they said they would take attendance for it.
Well, I will write your name down, and they can contact me if they want to know, or I can... Or okay. Why don't you send me an email, and I will confirm.
Okay, and what's your email?
Priscilla.grosser at bristolcc.edu.
I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Priscilla.grosser. All right.
Okay.
Perfect. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your time. Bye.
So again, thank you all very much. Don't be surprised to hear from me again. When I ask you to do it again, please. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Priscilla.
Yes.
There was an email during this meeting from somebody who works at the college that was a former student of mine and asked if we want him to speak to students. I think he might be a good one to reach out to for the next time around.
Right. Who is it?
Thomas Vieira?
You might want to stop the recording.
Oh, yeah. Stop recording. Okay. Yeah, he just emailed you, me, actually Steve, Igor, and me. He didn't even include you.